details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack. All one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Welcome to The Collision.
The Collision, where sports and politics smash. Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on iTunes and Google Play. WPFW, Washington, D.C.
Welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni, and Chuck's going to be joining us in a few seconds. We are going to be spending a great deal of the hour with a policy analyst from the American Federation of Government Employees, representing 800,000 workers across the country. So we're going to be hearing about how the union is fighting back against this attempted takeover of our government. We're very thankful to have most of the hour talking with Travis Reuther, who happens to be a relative of Walter Reuther. But before we jump into that situation, we're going to take a few moments to celebrate, to discuss the celebrations of Black History Month that I went to just over the weekend. And then we're going to hear briefly, but very importantly, from the Palestinian Youth Movement. We're glad to have Mimi joining us in a moment. She'll be talking about Netanyahu's coming to the White House tomorrow. But let's quickly, I hate to say quickly, but Black History Month is going to be at least the whole month of February, if not the whole year. So this is not the last time we're going to discuss this, but I was blessed to attend at least two inspiring, extremely inspiring gatherings on Saturday. And first, and Chuck will share as well, but Saturday morning, from 11 to 2, Chuck Hicks at his annual Black History Celebration event. And it was just extremely inspiring. In fact, I get kind of emotional. Excuse me, folks. Given the news that we're getting each and every day, we need to remember our victories and our strength. And so Chuck's event did exactly that. I'm going to ask Chuck to talk about it a little bit. But also, in the evening, I went to the Sankofa and heard Gerald Horn, with a packed audience introduced by Greg Carr. And of course, as people know, Gerald Horn is a very important author and activist. And that was also extremely inspiring. And it just reminds us that as we travel through these difficult times, we also need to be inspired. So, Chuck, we are very proud of of you. Everybody was just delighted and inspired by your event on Saturday. So just briefly share with us about Saturday and why you do this every year. Whatever you'd like to say. Chuck, you with us?
Unmute.
Okay, we're gonna be out of time in a moment. I was hoping Chuck would be unmuted, but it was really quite an inspiring occasion. Many people were awarded, received awards, and I think the whole spirit of the day. It was a packed house at Westminster Church. And many of us just want to give a round of applause to Chuck for doing this. It was.
Hear me now.
Yeah, but real quick.
Yeah, I think one of the outstanding things was Frank's speech. So encouraging.
And again, Frank is the SNCC activist and the founder of the African American Civil War Museum.
Right, and there was just some outstanding appreciation, except Thomas Blanton, Robert Branham, Marquette, Emma, just everybody was so good. And I do this because I think it's important that we come together as a group to remember Black history. Oftentimes, there are little things, and this is kind of a community opening for people who don't know a lot about people who do a lot of things that are unseen. We use a lot of unseen workers, unseen heroes to pay tribute to. That becomes important to tell people they're important. What they do is important and that they count. And we do that every year because we turn out people so that they can support people. And then they come because they'd like to hear some inspiring words. For some people, this is the one thing they get invited to. Well, the best.
Yes, and again, it was inspiring not just for people who don't know about Black history achievements, but those of us who do know about it, we need this inspiration and this solidarity. And we play that song, Chuck, in the beginning. Of course, Chuck and I both come from very strong union-backed families, but that solidarity is, of course, is not only within unions, but across our communities now. We need solidarity, and we need to, more than ever, and we need to celebrate the solidarity we have. So, Chuck, I want to thank you again. Of course, we'll be continuing to discuss Black History Month throughout the year. I want to also mention that Greg Carr talked about the fact this could be the strongest Black History Month in history because of the fight back that people are going to have in their spirits. And Donald Trump cannot take down Black History Month, that's for sure. And with that said, we're going to jump into real quickly our next guest, and that is Mimi from the Palestinian Youth Movement. And we're happy to have her back on. We hope to have her and the Palestinian Youth Movement on more regularly this year. But Mimi, tell us, of course, we still have a lot of concerns about what's happening in Palestine and Gaza, but tell us what is happening tomorrow and what Palestinian Youth Movement is doing.
Yes, welcome. Hi, Joni. Hey. Thank you so much for having me on, and happy Black History Month. We're here on the show to send a message to our community here in D.C. that even though there is a ceasefire, we understand that the struggle continues. Netanyahu has been invited to the White House to meet with Trump. And so as a response to that, there will be a protest outside the White House in Lafayette Square Park Tuesday at 6 p.m. And we really hope that people will come out and take the streets with us to protest this meeting. Netanyahu is the first foreign leader being invited to the White House under Trump's new term. And it's especially horrible, you know, besides all the terrible things that the Netanyahu regime has done in Gaza, but the fact that there's an active ICC arrest warrant out for him now, rather than dining with Trump, he should be in The Hague, he should be behind bars. And we also understand, you know, from his past visits to the US, that when he's invited here, he is actively plotting with the U.S. in order to advance the Zionist and imperialist project. And we know from watching history the last times that Netanyahu's been invited here, both in July and September, were followed by horrible advancements in the imperialist and Zionist project. We saw the invasion in Lebanon and the bombardment of Lebanon and the pager attacks. He actually literally ordered the pager attacks from his hotel room. And so it's extra important that we're out here protesting this, because we also understand that one of Trump's priorities is to advance the normalization project between Israel and other Arab countries around them, specifically the Abraham Accords, which are between Israel, Bahrain, and the UAE. And so the reason why we're having this protest and the reason why I'm here now is that a lot of people understand that the genocide was an active ethnic cleansing project in Gaza, and that's true. But the genocide in Gaza was not just to kill as many Palestinians as possible, although, of course, that was their goal. But it was also to really crush people's hope of any resistance or liberation of any kind. And we saw that even after this brutal, brutal genocide, that wasn't possible. Our desire for liberation and our resistance stays alive. But also a normalization project is... They have the same goals. It's to actually put so much economic pressure on the region that they are also left with no choice but to accept Israel. And we obviously can't have that happen. We have to resist this with as much strength as we would resist a genocide, because it literally is a genocide, just in a different form. And so I really hope that everyone is able to come out tomorrow at 6 p.m. in front of the White House to show that the people continue to stand with Palestine until total liberation and return.
And thank you, Mimi. And I'm sure that it didn't go unnoticed to you and Palestinian youth movement that one of Trump's many decrees in the last few days was cutting all funds to South Africa. And of course, South Africa was the first to bring the case against Israel to the ICJ. So I'm sure that's the reason he wants to cut funds to South Africa. Mimi, your last question, are there other organizations that are supporting this boycott or protest tomorrow?
Yes. You know? Yes, there's a lot of organizations that are supporting. And if you check out our Instagram, Palestinian Youth Movement, you'll be able to see the list of other organizations. But we can shout out Maryland to Palestine and the Party for Socialism and Liberation as just a few of the organizations amongst a broad coalition that are going to continue to push against the imperialist and Zionist project for a liberated Palestine as long as it takes.
Okay, Mimi, thank you very much for joining us. And again, that's 6 p.m. at the White House tomorrow night. Okay, we're going to move right into our main topic today and our main guest, Walter Reuther from the American Federation of Government Employees. But Magic Mike, we're going to give him a little musical introduction.
That they never talk to her. So with them, I'll bring the muscle, not a single. We can't break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn. It's the union, yeah, the union that makes us strong. Hear the people singing, solidarity forever. Gotta have it, solidarity forever.
Okay, we thought we need to give people, we need to be positive and hopeful and remember the victories that the labor movement has achieved in the past. So with that, I'm very honored and thankful to welcome Travis Reuther onto our airwaves. He is a policy analyst for the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents 800,000 workers across the country. And I'm also proud to say that he has a strong labor background. To put it mildly, he is the, I believe, his grand uncle was Walter Reuther, who, of course, is a very important hero in the labor movement. He's going to be, in the short time we have about a half an hour, talking about what is going on and what AFGE is doing to push back against what Trump is trying to do. And of course, some of us may know that one of the goals of Project 2025 is dismantling the federal workforce. But we know AFJ is not going to sit by and let that happen. So welcome, Travis.
Thank you for having me on, Joni. It's great to be here.
Great to be with you. Me and Chuck, as I said earlier, both from strong union families, so we're happy to have you. Give us kind of so much is going on, but perhaps we should start with you briefly explaining the range of
executive orders.
Executive orders, and also the departments that AFGE represents. But we can start with either one.
Sure, I can do that. AFGE, American Federation of Government Employees. We're a labor union. Like you said, we represent about 800,000 workers across the federal government. Nearly every agency, nearly every job classification in the federal government are our members. They do things like they're meat inspectors for the Department of Agriculture, or they're nurses at the VA, or they are benefits specialists at the Social Security Administration, or they're folks up at NIH, not too far from here, who are doing research and trying to cure diseases. So, it's a broad range of folks that we represent, but they're all federal workers, and they all bring a strong sense of public service and dedication to serving the people of this country to their jobs. They're among the most hardworking people that we have in this country. And right now, from everything that we've seen, Donald Trump has got these folks right there in his crosshairs. And he and Elon Musk are really doing everything that they can to, force people out, to fire as many people as they want, and to really create a federal government that they have total control over. Rather than sort of the nonpartisan public civil service that has come to be the backbone of our country for so many decades now.
Yes, and share with us I'm sure many listeners know, but share with us the memo that some, I think, 2.2 million federal workers received from, I don't know if it was directly from Trump, around this buyout. So talk to us about that memo, what it said, and what AFG is advising workers to do.
Sure. So that buyout, the buyout memo, which is really that's what they're calling it, is a buyout. That was something that was sent early last week, I believe, to employees, across the federal government. There's some 2.2 or 2.3 million federal employees, and they all got this email saying, you can essentially submit your resignation with a deferred date of September of this year. So, you would say, I submit my resignation effective September 2025. And if you do that, will be allowed to continue teleworking, to continue working from home, to whatever extent you're already currently allowed to do that. But when September rolls around, you're gone. You're out of here. You're fired. And every employee in the federal government got that. And it's really it's designed to sort of instill fear in the federal workforce. It's designed to demoralize people and to really show people towards the exit door and really begin the process of lowering the number of federal employees that we have. So that's their goal here. AFGE, look, we are advising that people handle these offers with extreme caution. This is not a decision that you want to rush into by any means. We have seen Elon Musk is really sort of the person, the mastermind behind this strategy. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Elon Musk, you know, he's the richest man in the world. He owns all of these huge companies like Tesla and SpaceX and Twitter, which I guess is now called X. And so, you know, he has implemented very similar strategies to this quote unquote buyout offer at his companies, most notably at Twitter when he took over. And you know, he sent a very similar email to all the employees of Twitter then. And he said, you know, this is a fork in the road, and you can either, you know, head for the exit door, or you can stay on behind, or you can stay, you know, but showing total loyalty, to me, Elon Musk. And look, tons of people, at Twitter, when that happened, they took the offer, and they thought that they were going to be, you know, paid severance and paid their benefits, for several months following that. And what really ended up happening is they were not, you know, the money never showed up in their bank account. They were not paid their severance. They were not paid what Elon Musk said they would be, for these buyouts. And a lot of them had to, you know, they filed lawsuits. They filed class action lawsuits. And like I said, you know, Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. He's certainly very powerful. He was able to get those lawsuits dismissed. And the employees of Twitter, you know, never saw a dime of what Elon Musk had been promising them. So I bring that up because that's a very real worry this time around, you know, with these quote unquote buyouts that the federal government is offering. And So at AFGE, we're urging people to be very cautious to understand that history and that risk, that, you know, they don't have the money to pay these buyouts. And there's a very real chance that if you take it, you might not get the money that you're owed. So we're urging people to use extreme caution.
That's good to hear. And many of our listeners may have heard of Democracy Now! This morning, of course, giving a lot of news. And one of the stories that was discussed was someone who wrote an article, Elon Musk is staging a coup. And of course, that seems more and more obvious to many of us, and it's very frightening. I want to ask Chuck, if you have a question now or later for Travis Ruther, jump in and ask him.
I will. How many federal employees are affected by this buyout in the Washington, D.C. area?
If I heard you correctly, you were kind of going in and out, but you know, I certainly know that there are tons and tons of federal employees in the Washington, D.C. area. Out of the total number of federal employees, it's about 15% of them who are in the D.C. area. And, you know, it's not lost on me, you know, especially as we start Black History Month here. But, you know, 50, 75 years ago, you know, during the days of Jim Crow and segregation, federal jobs were sort of among the first, you know, good paying middle class jobs that African Americans were really able to access. And, you know, part of that that legacy is, you know, you see in the DC area, excuse me, you know, such a strong Black middle class, and that's really been part of the culture and part of the heritage of this of this region, of this city, for decades now. And you know, it's not lost on me, like I said, as we start Black History Month, that you know, these measures, like these buyouts and these other executive orders that are really putting federal workers in the crosshairs. You know, another good example would be the executive order that Trump put out on his first day in office that eliminates DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion measures from the federal government. You know, these are things that taken together really first they affect everybody, but they especially affect the thousands and thousands of African American federal employees here in the DC area, who like I said, have have you know dedicated themselves to these jobs and really made up that backbone of our federal government and these critical services that the federal government provides for so many years now.
What my last question is, what do you see the impact on the services if this is to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chuck. So, you know, this is a very serious part as well of what Donald Trump and Elon Musk are trying to do. You know, it's I've talked already, about their goals to fire, hundreds of thousands of federal workers and federal workers, will be impacted. This will be very much something that falls on their shoulders. However, it's not just federal workers who are going to feel the brunt of this. It's really, everyone. I was speaking earlier about how our members, are meat inspectors and they're nurses and they're scientists, curing diseases. And, they are administrators for Social Security and all these other programs, that working people rely on. And the goal of Trump and the goal of Musk is to slash spending for all of this stuff. Really across the board, slash the funding, delete these programs, make it so that they don't work and they can't serve the American people. And I think really at the end of the day, you're going to find that all Americans are going to be affected by this. You know, the work that our members do, it touches each and every American at some point, regardless of who you are. You will be able to feel the impact if they're successful in slashing the funding as much as they want to. So, you know, I think that people are going to be very unhappy with that. You know, they didn't vote for somebody to take money out of their paychecks and to take food off the table and to take the roof from over their heads and get rid of all that stuff. So I think you'll find that people across the country are going to be pretty upset about this.
And in a few moments, we'll talk about what AFGE is doing, is organizing to have AFGE, the workforce, speak up and protest it together with the rest of us. Because this is going to, the impact is just, it's almost unimaginable how much the country itself would change. And of course, some of these things that he's doing really are legally under the control of the Congress. But talk a little bit about that, Travis, how meaning Trump and Musk, may be able to get around that. Or what is the Congress doing and what is their role in terms of these agencies that AFGE represents?
Yeah, you excuse me. You bring up a really good point, Joni, which is that based on the way our government works, based on the separation of powers and everything that's laid out in the Constitution, you know, we have a system where Congress has what's known as the power of the purse. So, you know, Congress controls funding and they apportion funding out to various federal agencies and to various programs . And that's under their control. That's not under the president's control. That's under Congress's control. And that's a sort of a foundational element of the way that our government is supposed to work. And what you're seeing from Donald Trump and from Elon Musk is they're basically saying, you know, no, it's not Congress that has the power of the purse. It's actually Trump or in Elon Musk's case, it's an unelected billionaire, who's not even from this country, who should have the final say and should be able to, wield the power of the purse and should be allowed to, you know, if he, doesn't like that Congress has apportioned funding for, you know, let's say food stamps for SNAP, you know, that Elon Musk should just be able to, flip a switch at the Treasury Department and cut that funding off just because he doesn't like it. And, that is something that is really fundamentally undemocratic, you could say. And, he's taking a decision that is supposed to be democratically decided. You know, the American people vote for their members of Congress who set the funding. And Elon Musk, Donald Trump, they're saying they're throwing that out and saying, no, we decide. And that's going to lead to, you're starting to see it already, but that's going to lead to a situation where you know two billionaires have control over what the government spends its money on, and like I said, that could be disastrous for any number of federal agencies, for any number of federal programs, and you know lawsuits will be filed. You know, AFGE, we're involved in all this, and you know we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that they aren't able to continue wielding the power of the purse.
You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is Two Heel DC with me, Joni, and with Chuck. We're honored and thankful to be talking with Travis Ruther with the American Federation of Government Employees, representing 800,000 workers across the country. And in a minute, we're going to ask Travis about a very important rally coming up next week. But just to dig down a little bit more about what Trump and Elon Musk are maybe able to do, I understand that even if Congress, I don't know if vetoes is the right word, but is says what they're doing is not something that Congress voted for, apparently there may be a way where they could, the money could be approved, but Musk and Trump would still be in charge of that money and could decide not to spend it in the way that Congress had requested or ordered. So explain that a little bit more to our listeners.
Sure, it's good that you bring that up. That's what is known as impoundment. So that basically means that you know, like you were saying, if Congress passes a law that says you know that X agency or Y program, we're going to spend whatever amount of money, we're going to spend money on that, and we're going to fund that, and that's how it'll work. And impoundment is sort of this theory that you know Donald Trump and his allies and Elon Musk have been pushing, that basically says that you know the president, the executive branch, can take that money that's been approved by Congress and is ready to go out the door, and they can just hold on to it. They can sit tight and say, no, you know, we're not going to spend this. We decide that we don't want to. And look, I am not a lawyer. So I'll, you know, throw out that caveat here, but like I said, that's not the way our government works. Congress apportions money, you know, it's gotta go out the door. You know, to take a current example, Trump has, He's promised to issue an executive order that puts an immediate pause on billions of dollars that were appropriated under the Inflation Reduction Act of 2021 under President Biden. You know, this huge climate law, this with industrial actions and with stuff to help tackle the climate crisis and bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. And Trump is saying, you know, nope. We're not going to do it. We're not going to spend any money, even though Congress has already passed the laws. I'm just going to hold on to this money, and we're not going to do any of that. So yeah, I mean, the same could apply to military aid for Ukraine or you know, funding at NIH down the road or really any number of things. And you know, this is in flagrant violation of the Constitution, basically.
Right. And of course, another goal that they're going to have, they're planning to privatize a lot of things that are critical to our lives, such as Social Security. If they had their way, I'm sure they'll privatize Social Security, which would be, needless to say, disastrous. Some of our ancestors, and including my mom and many of our parents, would rise up to think such a horrible thing could happen.
Johnny, let me ask Travis another quick question. Mm-hmm. Travis, when groups file lawsuits, how does that lawsuit begin? Where does it start off at? And how does it process?
Are you referring to federal employees filing lawsuits if they're treated unfairly?
Where does it start?
Yeah, so you know, unionized federal employees, you know, they have the option to avail themselves of the Merit Systems Protection Board, which you know is a legal body within the federal government that adjudicates you know things like unfair treatment in the workplace or harassment or unlawful firings or or any number of issues along those lines, discrimination, you know, things like that. And, this is a thing that federal employees are able to avail themselves of. And certainly, we're expecting, we've started to see examples already of people being treated in this way. They have every opportunity to work with their union to avail themselves of those resources to file lawsuits along those lines and to appeal them to the relevant bodies. At AFGE, we're doing everything we can, working with our locals and our councils and our districts to get people connected to the legal help, the legal representation that they need, so that they can protect themselves from some of these more extreme, unfair, onerous decisions and executive orders that we're starting to see from the Trump administration.
And I understand that another one of their goals with AFG folks is to, but of course, union members are usually protected by certain agreements, legal agreements, and they've won through collective bargaining. But apparently they want to take away some of those rights and just be able to fire people at will. Is that correct? That's one of the things.
That's right. And this might be a pretty long-winded answer this really gets to sort of the crux of what we're facing here. And I think you mentioned their goal of really firing as many people as possible. One big way that they're going to do this, it's called Schedule F, or Schedule Policy Career, as I think they're now calling it, because that sounds less scary. But what Schedule F does is, it's a type of job classification that says if you're a worker, an employee in the federal government, your job is policy related. It's related to policy. And if you have a job that's related to policy, they can place you on the Schedule F, and that means you basically lose your due process rights and your other worker protections that federal employees have fought for decades. You lose those, and you're turned into an at-will employee, and you can be fired at any time. And what we've seen, what we're scared of, is that they can really apply this the Schedule F label to really anyone that they want to. They can take a very broad interpretation of that and say that that whatever your job is, it's policy related, and we want to fire you at any given opportunity. So that was something that they did during the first Trump administration. Towards the very end, President Biden thankfully overturned it, got rid of it, but Trump, they're bringing it back, and that's certainly one of the big threats that we're seeing. But on top of that, I will add that AFGE members, unionized federal employees, they have union contracts that were bargained fairly and signed by both parties, by the union and the employees themselves, and by the agencies and the federal government. And these contracts are legally enforceable. Regardless of what Trump says, whether he wants to throw these contracts out or whether he wants to fire people or whatever he wants to do, the fact is that if you have a union contract, you have rights that are enforceable by the law. And look, AFGE, we intend to enforce our contracts, as aggressively as we need to, and to push back wherever we can to make sure that our contracts are respected, that they're lawfully represented, and that we can protect our members to the full extent of those contracts.
Absolutely. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to talk about the very important rally that's happening a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, February 11th. I just want to say that I myself have been a member of AFG. I'm now a retiree from the district government. And thank goodness AFG had that contract, because I might have been among the first to be fired. But they couldn't fire us in the district government. They could fire the at-will staff, and I saw a lot of the at-will staff being marched out of their offices about 10 years ago, but the workers have rights, and thank goodness for the union, we still have rights. So before I ask you about February 11th, Travis, I just wondered, is the Department of Education under, are there AFSCME workers under Department of Education?
Yes, I believe there are.
So they're on the chopping block as well. And of course, Elon Musk and some people have called him the tangerine tyrant, would be thrilled to be able to privatize all these agencies. Can you imagine privatizing the education department, privatizing Social Security, privatizing all these agencies that we rely on for our day-to-day lives? So we know we need to stand up and fight. We know we need to do a lot of organizing. And of course, not only AFSCME members, but all of this, as Chuck's question showed and Travis explained, this is going to affect almost everybody. So Travis, tell us, and of course, we know there are many attacks, but they're all kind of interrelated. So tell us what is happening on Tuesday, February 11th.
Sure. Well, first, let me just say a quick word about privatization, which you brought up. You know, this is this is one of the big sort of threats here as well. And look, if you look at Elon Musk, you know, this is one of the biggest government contractors. His companies have some of the most lucrative contracts throughout the federal government. And you know, if you were to eliminate a federal agency or fire, 100,000 workers from this part of the federal government, you know, that work will still need to be done in some way, shape or form. And, you know, what Elon Musk, what Donald Trump and what all of their billionaire CEO, you know, friends and buddies really want here is to take that work that they're eliminating, that they're putting on the chopping block, and to take it and to privatize it and to contract it out to, you know, to their companies in many cases, or to their friends and their buddies' companies, so that you know, this work that's supposed to be done in, you know, on behalf of the people, for the people, will instead be done by a private company in service of their profit motive, and that private company will get to reap all of the financial benefits of this, and the American people will really be the ones who are having money Absolutely. Taken out of their pocket in that case. So
directly into Elon Musk's pocket, I must say. Travis, we only have 3 minutes left now. I want you, it's very important that people understand that AFSCME is pushing back and is organizing the workers. And one way they're doing that is this rally on Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow Rosa Parks' birthday. So tell us, Travis, what's happening on Tuesday, and is everyone welcome to join in with the rally?
That's right. Next Tuesday, February 11th, I believe it's noontime on the grounds of the Capitol, or shortly, or very close by. You know, we're having a rally. There will be federal employees from across the country, AFGE members, like I said, who work at all sorts of departments, all sorts of job functions, but all of them, you know, dedicated public servants who do critical work for the American people. They will be there. They will be making their voices heard. We're going to have speakers, you know, throughout Congress, senators, members of Congress, pro-union allies, friends from the labor movement, and workers themselves, you know, will be speaking. We'll be getting folks fired up, and we'll be talking about the challenges that we're facing and the ways that we can come together as one, link arms, stand up and really defend the work that our members do and the value that it has for like I've been saying, for all Americans, regardless of whether you think you rely on the federal government or not. You know, the work that our members do, it touches you at some point along the way, and these are vital programs that we need to protect. So our members will be doing that February 11th, noon, U.S. Capitol. We'll be there.
And all listeners are, of course, able to join that protest. This is something that impacts all of us. That is a week from tomorrow, from noon to 1 p.m. And I believe AFGE is also having, a national convention that day or that week. So there'll be a lot of folks there,
There will be a lot of folks there, and this is coinciding with our annual legislative conference where we bring members, to talk to their members of Congress and to their senators and to make their voices heard, sort of in the halls of power in the Capitol, in the Congress. And look, I encourage all of your listeners, everyone out there who's wondering, how can I get involved? I encourage you, reach out to your member of Congress, write them a letter, give them a phone call. Let them know that this stuff is important to you, that federal employees' rights, their union rights, and their rights as workers and as public servants need to be respected. And you don't want to see billionaires like Donald Trump and Elon Musk trampling all over them. So please make your voices heard.
Travis Ruther, we're very honored and thankful you could join us today. We hope to have you back in the future. I know that you're. Your grand uncle, Walter Ruther, is very proud of you somewhere, as we all are proud of you. And we're proud of AFGE that represents 800,000 workers across the country. We're going to jump for a moment now to another federal employee, labor union activist, and that is Saul Schneiderman, who was a federal employee for over 35 years, former president of AFSCME, American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, professional guild at the Library of Congress, where Saul worked for many years. He's a delegate to the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO, chair of the Labor Heritage Foundation, which you can hear Chris Garlock and Elise Bryant on that show every Thursday at 1 p.m. And he also happens to be a longtime friend of mine. And Saul helped to connect us to Travis Ruther. So thank you, Saul, for everything you do. So welcome. And what would you like to share with us today?
Well, thank you, Joni, and hi, Chuck. There's a very high degree of unity now among federal employees across the nation, not just in AFGE, but also the National Treasury Employees Union, the National Federation of Federal Employees, and AFSCME, and including our local labor movement here, which is the Metropolitan Washington Council, AFL-CIO. And I really enjoyed listening to your guest. I wanted to also point out part of the shock therapy that Trump and company have laid down the law on, first of all, is a job freeze. Currently, there are no new federal vacant positions being filled. And secondly, it's important to remind folks that whenever you read in the paper about a federal employee being terminated or forced to resign, that means they lose their health insurance. All federal employees participate in the Federal Employee Health Benefit Program. And once you leave federal service, your health benefits for you and your family are cut off within 30 days, and you're forced into something called temporary continuation of coverage, which allows you to keep your health insurance, but you have to pay it at 100%. So this is also a critical part of the Trump agenda. But Joni, part of the unity that was expressed by your opening song, Solidarity Forever, has led federal employees to form something called the Federal Unionist Network, which is a short word for FUN. And they actually have a website at federalunionist.net. And you can join them, and they're having a round table tonight at 8 o'clock. I like the use of the word FUN because they're made up of hardworking, dedicated federal employees, and they call themselves FUNners. You talked a little bit about the rally, which all of us are going to be attending on February 11th. But I wanted to also point out something about this so-called buyout that the government is offering. At the Library of Congress, where I worked as president for the last 20 years, they occasionally had a buyout. that was very specific and very targeted, in which they offered an employee $25,000 at the max to leave their position. But when this was offered, you got paid on the front end. Okay, so you would sign a paper saying that you would retire early or resign your position, and you would obtain this money on the front end. That's not the buyout that's being offered by Trump and company. And I think that's why Senators Tim Kaine and Van Hollen are telling people to be very cautious about taking this so-called buyout, especially just by sending an email, you know, to the executive branch. I would go one step further and say not to do it, because whenever there's an executive order that is issued, they can issue another executive order changing it. So that's also a caution for federal workers.
Absolutely. And we're almost out of time, so we do have another minute or two left. But do you have, if people are interested in this Federal Unionist Network, and there's, again, as Saul said, a meeting tonight online, a Zoom meeting, do you have a website or a way that people can join in?
Yes. It's called the Federal Unionist Network, or FUN, and their website is federalunionist.net. And you can sign up and participate in the webinar tonight. It's a brand new formation of federal workers, and I believe it's supported ex officio by all of the union, most of the union federal employee unions, but not officially. So it's called FUN, federalunionist.net, and it also discusses the attacks on the civil service, because beside the damage that's being done to federal workers and their families, this is an attack on the merit-based civil service.
Yes. So that, in other words, if we didn't have a civil service, then Musk could decide everybody was going to be hired and put his people in, which I know is something he'd love to do. Saul, before you leave us, tell us, is it again about February 11th, and would you, what you might recommend to listeners, whether they should attend.
Mailbox can't accept more messages.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's, hello?
Well, yes.
I'm sorry. We're just about out of time. Saul, did you want to say anything else about February 11th?
Come to the rally, bring your sign, bring your families, and shout like hell that you want to protect federal employees and protect the civil service in the United States of America.
And protect all the agencies that the workers work for, so they're not privatized. Thank you very much, Saul. And thank you, Magic Mike. And thank you, Saul, for helping us put this show together. Thank you, Mari, and our whole To Heal DC team. And we're going to go out as we came in with the last part of that song. But I want to let everybody know that next week we start, guess what? The winter pledge drive for WPFW. And of course, we're about to enter our 48th year. And we need your support as always. And we might say now more than ever, given the things that we need to be covering here on WPFW. So next Monday, we will be on the first Monday of the pledge drive. We'll, one of our main guests will be Harriet's Wildest Dreams. And of course, we will continue to give you information which can encourage you and support you and all of us to stand up for our rights, for all our rights, and to make sure that this country is not totally taken over by a handful of the richest people in the world. And with that, we're going to go out with the last stanza of the song we came in with, Solidarity Forever. And that is not only union members, but all of us. And of course, very important in Black History Month. Right, Chuck?
Absolutely, Tony, absolutely.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Thank you.
WPFW swag in your life? Idols that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our winter pledge drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Climate Friday host Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr. is but one of the black voices in climate and environmental justice that will be featured at this year's Taking Nature Black Conference, March 5th through the 8th. Presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/Taking Nature Black. All one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly five decades. We provide news, music worth listening to, and in-depth conversations about your community and the world. One of the many ways that you could contribute is to donate a vehicle that you no longer need, running or not. It can do wonders for WPFW, so donate it for a tax break for 2024. Go to WPFWFM.org. Or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or a daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW, and it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
Georgetown University professor Maurice Jackson and NEA jazz master Willard Jenkins will interview each other about their books as well as sign them at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 11th at the Hill Center at 921 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. This is the third session of the series, Our City, Our Music, Our Writers. Details at hillcenterdc.org.